Case on today's call is number 02-1231, Norval Williams against Rick Sennett et al. Mr. Wertheimer.
Good morning, I'm Don Wertheimer, appearing for Norval Williams. This is a multifaceted case. Much evidence was designated in the context of the summary judgment motion. The trial court granted the motion. We're here today. What I want to bring to your honor's attention is how we got here and what Judge Miller had in front of him to reach the decision that he did, and why I respectfully submit that the summary judgment should be reversed and remanded for a trial. Mr. Williams is an African-American, a career police officer. He was specifically hired by Sheriff Sennett on January 1, 1999 as Assistant Chief of Police. Later that year in the summer, there was a trial of Gregory Dickens, who was accused of murdering a police officer. The jury found Mr. Dickens guilty. He was a young black defendant. And Mr. Williams was critical of the process and made statements critical of the trial and the results, suggesting that Mr. Dickens may not be the right defendant or the
Precisely
right...
Precisely when were these statements made, sir? Were they made after the verdict had been entered or during the trial? It was not clear to us as we...
It was after.
How far after?
I think the very day. And it was in the newspaper.
I see.
In any event, then on August 4th, 1999, for the first time, Sheriff Sennett conducted an impromptu performance evaluation of Officer Williams.
And this was how long after the statement?
This would have been approximately 6 weeks. This performance evaluation was uniquely concerning and against Norval Williams. There had never been a performance evaluation before for Mr. Williams or anyone else like him under the employee of the Sheriff's Department.
Does the record indicate whether the other employees of the administrative section were in fact given employee evaluations around the same time? I understand Mr. Williams would have been first, but were in fact other employee evaluations conducted?
You mean after Norval Williams?
That's correct.
There is nothing in the record about that. Certainly if there had been, that would be something I suppose Mr. Sennett would want to submit. We don't believe that there were. We think this was directly aimed against Norval Williams.
Can you identify any person who was similarly situated but treated differently?
Yes. By name, no. By category, yes, because there was no one else who was given notice of a performance evaluation. It was simply and only Norval Williams. He was hired as an assistant chief of police. It was a special position created by Sheriff Sennett for him. So in that sense, his position was somewhat unique. The problem, of course, is there are a number of problems. One problem, of course, is the matter of protected free speech. Certainly Norval Williams, when he was acting in his capacity as monitoring the trial as a county police officer, and he made those statements critical of the trial procedure, that is, in my humble opinion, clearly protected free.
You say his capacity as a police officer, he was monitoring the trial?
That
trial.
Is correct.
Was this part of his duty to monitor the trial?
It was indeed. It was indeed.
Why?
That was what he was assigned to do.
Was that police department responsible for the arrest of the defendant, or was it this?
Yes, the South Bend Police Department investigated and arrested Mr. Dickens, but Norval Williams was acting in his capacity as a St. Joseph County employee rather than a South Bend.
Why would he be monitoring a trial? The case was put together by another police department.
Because as long as I can remember, Your Honor, it has always been the duty of the St. Joseph County Sheriff's Department to handle security in the courthouse.
Oh, I see.
And that
aspect of the trial.
Right.
Okay, so he wasn't...
But he was physically in the courtroom and did have discussions with Mr. Dickens. I mean, he was right there physically.
So he would, when you say he was monitoring the trial, he was taking care of security measures and custody of the prisoner, things of that nature.
Things of that nature.
I see.
Along with other county officers.
Okay. Going to the whole racial claim that he's making, there are just a couple comments that were made of a racial nature, but most of the evidence you presented goes to your First Amendment claim, doesn't it?
It does. However, there were comments made that were clearly racial, and there also is an allegation of a conspiracy where all of these actors are talking, certainly without Norval Williams' knowledge, secretly, and that the ultimate result was that Mr. Williams was terminated, and our position is that the reasons given for his termination were wholly pretextual. And
in arguing a conspiracy, has Mr. Williams presented any evidence other than a mere conversation expressing displeasure with him? In other words, is there any evidence showing a common plan or a meeting of the minds or any other indicia of a conspiracy?
Yes. In the August 4, 1999 termination, I call it a termination meeting rather than a performance evaluation meeting, but it started out presumably as a performance evaluation meeting. Basically, we have comments by Sheriff Seneff, and we have comments by Mr. Lauk of the FOP that are clearly racial, using the N-word in the context of Mr. Williams, which have been designated. We have a pattern of refusing to hire minorities recommended by Mr. Williams. We have proof that Mr. Williams was excluded from input into hiring practices when that was one of his duties. He was excluded from social activities, baseball games, outings that other officers were similarly situated.
Can you explain to me how that occurred? In other words, they'd say, we're having a baseball game, but Williams, not you.
It's basically, it's a passive rather than an active exclusion where they just do it and don't tell him and everyone else goes.
And these things, they all occurred after he made this comment.
That's correct. Let me give you the reasons for termination. Inappropriate language was one of them. And frankly, Sheriff Seneff is no one to complain about inappropriate language, as well as other police officers. Police officers are frankly to be admired. They risk themselves every day. They get testy and that sort of thing. That's certainly normal. But to accuse Mr. Williams of inappropriate language as a ground for termination is arbitrary, to say the least. And then the other reason, a failure to communicate to other employees of his whereabouts. Mr. Williams has basically said that's a lie, that never happened. Failing to attend early morning meetings with Sheriff Seneff on August 4th, 1999, apparently was contending that's a condition of your employment. But on the other hand, as Mr. Williams indicated, when the two of them had discussions before January 1, 1999, they had agreed to certain hours of work that were not the early morning hours, and failure to notify Norval Williams of meetings with the staff, Seneff and the other officers at the chocolate factory. For those of you not familiar with South Bend, it's a place where you can get pastry, coffee, that sort of thing. Another reason that Sheriff Seneff gave was failure to reduce jail population and inventory jail property. The problem, of course, is that Norval Williams says in his deposition, it's designated, he worked diligently on those projects, but it was Sheriff Seneff that denied him the inadequate computer equipment and the manpower to do it. So basically, Seneff is demanding he do something, but doesn't give him the wherewithal to do it. And now here is something, failure to take a polygraph. Now, before January 1, 1999, when Norval Williams and Sheriff Seneff had their pre-hiring discussion, this was discussed. Norval Williams discussed it with Sheriff Seneff. It had to do with an allegation of sexual misconduct sometime prior. And in fact, prosecuting attorney Toth testified in his deposition that the Indiana State Police had investigated that, but no charges were filed and the case was closed. Now, all of a sudden, on August 4, 1999, Sheriff Seneff demands of Norval Williams, you must take a polygraph test that relates to your moral character, relating back to that sexual misconduct issue. There was no official investigation going on at that time. It had been closed when Sheriff Seneff demanded that polygraph. And there's nothing provided in the St. Joseph County Merit Board rules and regulations for that polygraph test. As I said, the charges were independently investigated, that Prosecutor Toth testified to. Prior to August 4th of 1999, there were never any complaints about inappropriate language. But when you talk about the conspiracy, everyone admits, and it's designated in the record, Prosecutor Toth admits he was aware of Williams' comments concerning the trial, and Toth called Sheriff Seneff to express his displeasure that something had to be done. Now, where does that come from? That comes from the deposition of a witness, Alan Lieb, who happened to be friendly with Prosecutor Toth and assisted him in his campaign to be elected against Michael Barnes, who was the prior prosecutor who had been in office for several decades. So that, and then his wife Tracy Lieb was another witness, and she actually discussed Norval Williams with Joseph Lauck, the head of the FOP, where he used the N-word in a very derogatory comment. So we have evidence in the record showing conspiracy. Even Sheriff Seneff in the termination meeting talks about calls from various departments, offices, and officials. We have, as I indicated in the brief, there is a mosaic of facts that taken alone...
I may interrupt you there for a moment. Was a letter ever sent to your client as stating reasons for termination?
Never, and in fact...
So where you are gleaning these reasons for termination from where? From the transcript of the evaluation or from the deposition of the defendants? From both.
Both. The first time that reasons were ever advanced was on August 4, 1999, in the termination meeting. And because Mr. Williams certainly has a right to express his views about a public trial, and because First Amendment rights are involved, certainly he should have been granted a due process hearing.
Was he entitled to a hearing given his status?
That's a good question.
Wasn't he on probation?
Yes, he was, but in fact, I cited authority, and the Seventh Circuit has so ruled. If the termination is based upon a constitutionally protected right, even if you're a probationary employee, you should be entitled to a due process hearing before somebody. And in fact, he was never given a hearing, and the arguments of judicial immunity really have no meaning in this context, because you actually have to go through the quasi-judicial proceeding and have a bad result, and then if you assert a claim, you probably have qualified judicial immunity. But in this case, the board never even gave a hearing, and Mr. Williams was never given an opportunity for a hearing. He was never given a statement of reasons prior to August 4, 1999, nor was he given an opportunity to comply with what Sheriff Seneff perceived were shortcomings in his performance.
In your view, is it fair to say that the sheriff gave as one of his reasons your client had interfered with relationships with other departments of city and municipal government?
That was alluded to and categorically denied by Officer Williams. In fact, Officer Williams...
But how was it alluded to by the sheriff? As a reason for discharge, was it or was it not?
Well, Let's see. I don't believe that was a specific reason given by Sheriff Senef to justify the termination. You have to understand that in a meeting like this where a discussion is going on with two witnesses, which is unusual, with Officer Waugh and Steve Hostetler, who then was one of the county attorneys, and they're having this discussion, many things were stated. I don't believe that was a reason per se for termination.
You don't believe it was a reason stated by the sheriff for termination, or you don't believe that it was a reason?
I don't believe it was a reason, and I don't believe it was ever stated as a reason. You have to understand that...
Well, then what...
Well, let me explain what I mean. When the meeting began on August 4, 1999, and Sheriff Senef indicated to Norville that we're going to have a performance evaluation, besides being quite surprised about it, the initial discussion was about his performance. And then the latter part of the discussion became accusatory, inflammatory, and things were said. The specific reasons enunciated by Sheriff Senef are the reasons that I told you a few minutes ago, and nothing else. And in any event...
As I understand it, your allegation, your position,
right,
is that those reasons were either not the all of the reasons, or that those reasons were in fact pretextual, and there was another reason.
Exactly.
And the reason was his exercise of his First Amendment right.
That is correct. That is exactly correct. Of course, if we didn't have those inflammatory racial comments by Sheriff Senef and Officer Lauk, then we wouldn't have known that race was also a factor in it. And we would have, no doubt, restricted the claim to a pure First Amendment.
What puzzles me about your case is this, sir.
All right.
It seems to me that you very well might have here a mixed motive case where the sheriff made his decision for the reasons he stated, but also because of your client's statements to the press about this trial.
Correct.
If that is correct, then we have to face the question of whether the sheriff would have made the same decision if the question of the exercise of the statement to the press was not involved.
Right.
And yet the district court doesn't seem to talk about that, and
that's
you
correct.
Folks haven't talked very much about that either in your briefs, as to how we ought to handle this if it's a mixed motive case.
Well, basically, there are plenty of operative facts shown by Norville Williams, and inferences can be drawn from those facts that basically a judge or a jury should determine rather than disposition by way of a summary judgment motion. And I'm not sure. Am I answering your question, Your Honor? I'm not sure I am.
Well, you're addressing it. I think the court's going to have to think about it.
Well, I agree. But the point is that if a judge or jury believes Norville Williams, his version of the facts, that these are pretexts, that he's not guilty of these stated reasons, then we bring into play the First Amendment and racial motivation. But Mr. Williams has not been given an opportunity to present that testimony before a trier of fact. That's been removed. It's not going to happen unless this court grants Norville Williams relief. And Norville Williams has put in the record sufficient facts from which inferences can be drawn to show a prima facie case.
Did he provide affidavits or other evidence from other employees substantiating his claims that the language used and his overall performance was similar to other employees who were not evaluated at that time?
He did not, and frankly, Your Honor, it would be difficult to have a current employee basically go against his employer. We do have the testimony of Norville Williams in that regard, which should be sufficient to withstand a summary judgment motion. And all inferences to be drawn from the designated facts should be resolved in favor of the non-moving party. And that's one of the main reasons why we're here. I sincerely believe that sufficient facts were designated and shown. Norval Williams was subjected to a lengthy deposition, and that has been designated, the pertinent parts. Prosecutor Toth was deposed. Sheriff Seneff was deposed. We have a record that is replete with much evidence. And frankly, Mr. Williams, simply put, wants to have his day in court and have a trier of fact independently and objectively look at these facts, because the inferences are there.
Sir, your time has expired.
Oh, all right. Okay.
We'll hear now from Mr. Agostino.
May it please the court, counsel. First point I would like to focus on is the idea of what happened on August 4, 1999. Because I think the plaintiff in this case has tried to characterize that meeting as a termination meeting, and I think that's erroneous. That meeting started out as an evaluation meeting, a performance evaluation, in which Sheriff Seneff wanted to explain to Norval Williams what the sheriff was expecting from Norval Williams in his job, and where he was going to bring out certain matters that needed to be corrected. And that's what happened. And we know that that's what happened for two reasons. We know that because Norval Williams recorded that meeting and had a transcript of that meeting prepared. And that's part of the record. And you can read that transcript and you can see exactly what happened during that meeting. The sheriff was going over problem areas that he was experiencing, that he observed relative to Norval Williams' conduct. We also know that that's what happened because Norval Williams in his deposition confirmed that that's what was going on in the that meeting of August 4, 1999. Norval Williams goes as far as to say in his deposition that he characterized that meeting as an evaluation meeting. The termination did come about, and it occurred in that meeting because of what transpired in that meeting. And what happened was that Norval Williams was not receptive to the criticism that he was receiving. He was not accepting the recommendations of the sheriff. And the conversation at one point went to the sheriff saying, if you don't see things my way, maybe we ought to go our separate ways. And Williams didn't want to do that. The sheriff proceeded with going through the evaluation. Williams again resisted, and the conversation moved on to the polygraph issue. Williams says, I don't want to do that. The sheriff says, you have to. If you don't, you can get terminated.
What motivated the decision to require a polygraph exam? In other words, if it was based on the allegations of sexual misconduct, why was that suddenly of concern when it was not of concern when he was hired?
It was one of a number of matters of concern for the sheriff, and there's two versions on that. Now, Mr. Williams says, I told the sheriff all about this. It had to do with a conduct that occurred when Norval Williams was employed with the Juvenile Justice Center in St. Joseph County, and some inappropriate contact he had with a minor or an incompetent child that was under that jurisdiction. Now, sheriff says, I didn't know any specifics about this at all when I hired him, and had come across information during Norval's employment that he wanted to find out about. But it wasn't the sole motivator of, and it was in the context of the evaluation of Norval Williams' employment performance.
Were there any departmental policies in place that govern when polygraph exams can be required, and if so, were the policies followed in this case?
The Merit Board rules and regulations, which are part of the record, would allow the polygraph to be requested as part of an internal investigation. And I think Sheriff Seneff was wanting to initiate that in connection with the allegations.
So, in other words, what you're saying is the sheriff hired this person to be his number one assistant and knew nothing about this allegation, knew something about this allegation.
Did not know anything about this at the time that he hired him. There was no criminal charges filed. There was no public record of this. And at some point, and this may have started even after he was hired, where the state police conducted an investigation into the charge. But that was not something that the sheriff had been brought into the loop of until after he took office, which was in January of 99. But this dealt with events that occurred prior to that. The sheriff would not have been privy to any of that information until he actually took office.
Do we know when the sheriff learned of this, the exact date,
We don't have a specific time, but it was sometime after he took office.
So is it before the statements to the press, or is it after, or is it...
I would be guessing, but I would guess that it was before the statements to the press, or near that time. But the...
And this was the very first time that the question of a polygraph came up, was that this...
In the context of this evaluation meeting on August 4th. And we had the other issues as well, the performance issues.
Did you provide any evidence to show that this type of evaluation was done on a regular basis?
What happened here and what the record shows is that Norval Williams was the first person to undergo this evaluation as far as an administrator in Sheriff Seneff's administration. But other administrators also underwent an evaluation.
After his.
In prior years, there was not a regular practice of conducting evaluations. Sheriff Seneff implemented as part of his administration performance evaluations.
And when had he come on board in relation to when he did this evaluation? Was he in his first year of office, or had he been in office?
First year of office. The Sheriff Seneff was elected in 1998, took office January 1, 1999, and this evaluation was done August 4, 1999.
Have they known each other? Will the record tell us if they've known each other previously?
I think that the record would show that they knew of each other previously because of Norval Williams' activity on the South Bend Police Department, and Sheriff Seneff was a detective on the St. Joseph County Police Department. So that's how they would have known each other. The bottom line in the case, though, is that regardless of what theory or avenue Norval Williams wants to go down, he's always going to come up against the question of what actually causes termination. And it wasn't his exercise of free speech. It wasn't his skin color or race. It was what happened in the context of that evaluation meeting and his attitude. And Mr. Williams has not come forward with anything at all to dispute that. And he doesn't get into the area of what's pretextual. He hasn't shown any reason to disbelieve the sheriff. He hasn't shown any reason to disbelieve his own testimony.
If we could stop there for a minute. The sheriff, during that evaluation, mentioned certain things he hadn't done. As I understand it, Mr. Williams does dispute the those matters with the sheriff, factually. So he doesn't think the sheriff has any grounds to require that he change his ways, and apparently he stated that to the sheriff. Sheriff disagreed and said, well, I do it my way, and I'm the guy who runs this place. You know, you're out of here. But if Mr. Williams' view is that the reasons given by the sheriff were not true, that this, in effect, was a setup, that the real reason for all of this was the fact that he had made these statements, hasn't he he's created a question of pretext, has he not?
If that were true, he might create a question of pretext, but the problem is that that's not true, Your Honor. The premise of your question is not supported by the evidence. And specifically, we have the admissions of Norval Williams that that's not what happened. He admits that this started out as an evaluation meeting. He admits that in his deposition. And if you read the transcript of the meeting, you can tell that that's what happened. Now, could he make some argument that the only reason the sheriff set up this evaluation was so that he would get Norval to a point where he would be so upset that he would force a termination situation? That's an argument, and only an argument. It can't be drawn from the evidence. There's no evidence to draw that from.
Well, if I may interrupt, his argument, as I understand it, is, well, the reasons the sheriff gave during that evaluation meeting for being unhappy with my performance were just simply groundless. Well, it's a setup. Well, isn't that an inference a jury could draw?
I don't think that's a reasonable inference in terms of taking it to the next step on what caused the termination. We're not dealing with whether or not these reasons are set up. We're dealing with the fact that Norval doesn't want to accept any criticism, doesn't want to take the polygraph, doesn't accept the reasoning or the authority of the sheriff, and doesn't come forward with evidence to really question whether the sheriff was inaccurate in his assessment or not. He may not have liked the sheriff's assessment of what he was saying, but if the sheriff believed those things and acted on those things, then the sheriff's entitled to act on his reasonable beliefs, even if it turns out that he was mistaken. Because he's not acting on the basis of race or exercise of free speech.
Did Mr. Williams, in the employee evaluation interview, dispute the matters that the sheriff raised?
It's mixed. There's points where he accepts some of the criticisms, and there's points where he disputes it.
I think you can tell that my problem is whether the request for a polygraph was such a departure from normal procedures as to raise the possibility that it was in retaliation for the speech. And am I going to learn that, you know, from the record, or?
The sheriff's entitled to request a polygraph. This is his number two man in the department.
Is there some sort of a policy in place that governs polygraphs?
Well, the
merit. You can't just say, you know, you can just request a polygraph whenever you want one, can you?
The merit boards could be read to maybe allow that, but I think that the, you know, there'd be a reasonable basis for it here, and there was. There was this allegation and this of misconduct with this person under the care of the Juvenile Justice Center.
Yep. I would really appreciate it if you can answer this. Is there a polygraph policy in place in that department? Can I go somewhere and see that policy?
I'm going to defer to my co-counsel, Mr. Dixon, okay. who may answer that. I know that it's covered in the merit rules and regulations, but is there a document that says polygraph policy? I don't know that right now.
But let me ask you, too, in terms of evaluations of administrators, is there a written policy anywhere concerning that? You said the sheriff implemented this new policy to evaluate administrators. Is that in writing anywhere, that he's going to do that on an annual basis, or what?
There's memos and to that effect. I don't know that they're in the record, but the sheriff's testimony is in the record to that effect, confirming that. and his affidavit is in the record to that effect, that he had adopted evaluation procedures to be used for all administrators and all employees by department heads. We don't have a situation here where Norval Williams was the only person singled out for an evaluation and that was it. His happened to be the first because, as the sheriff stated, it was the most important. It needed the most attention. I'd like to give my few minutes left to Mr. Dixon.
And it's the most important because he's the most second most important person on the force? Or why is it the most important?
Because that's where they had most of the problems. That was the problem that needed the most attention.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Dixon.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tom Dixon. I represent Joe Lauck in the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge 36. I'm in the interesting position, however, since after this case was filed, I also now serve as the legal advisor for the St. Joseph County Police Department. So some of the questions Your Honor had with regard to some of the procedures that exist in the department, I think I can answer. I've come to you today to speak to our motions for sanctions, which I believe is what the court is interested in taking up. But I also feel it's important to address some of your concerns because I glean from your questions that there are some very significant issues that I think I might be able to very briefly address regarding timelines, regarding the polygraph exam, if the court would entertain that. As a preliminary matter, I think Mr. Agostino mentioned that Sheriff Senef came into office on January 1, 1999, and he's still completing his first administration. Mr. Williams was appointed as his assistant chief. The conduct in question for which Sheriff Senef sought a polygraph exam occurred in the previous Thanksgiving of 1998, which is also in the record, if it occurred at all. When Sheriff Senef became aware of the allegations of this conduct after he came into office, he did what I think is the proper protocol for any sheriff or any police chief. He turned it over to an independent investigating body to investigate, and he stepped out of it. And when he stepped out of it, the matter just was set in limbo until the state police came back with their results. When the state police came back with their results that they could not find any evidence, they also came back, and I don't believe this is in the record, that the reason they could not find any evidence wasn't because it wasn't there. It was because the charging party was wavering on the allegations in the first instance.
And you said that's not in the record.
That's knowledge that I have as a legal advisor for the department, and I'm trying to share with you to give you a better understanding of what led to this, or what happened in this August 4th, 1999 meeting. When Sheriff Senef learned of the state's investigation, it's my opinion that he called for the polygraph examination properly according to the Merit Board rules as the sheriff of the department, and what he was indicating to Mr. Williams was that he was going to be subjected to an internal investigation. As you're all aware,
this was after the sheriff had received the state police report.
That's right. And my understanding of the state police report was months out. After January, it was months out. Whether it came in before or after the Dickens trial, I don't have any information about that.
And did the sheriff testify to that effect as to why he wanted the polygraph in his deposition?
I believe that he did. I believe that's in the record, that he was looking at the issue of the allegations and the severity.
Something you said has just confused me. At the time he ordered the polygraph, did the sheriff have the completed state police report on that incident?
He did, Your Honor, yes.
And did he say in his affidavit that the reason he wanted the polygraph was because he got that report and he learned from the report that the victim, the alleged victim, was wavering?
I don't know. I do not believe that specific factual question is in the record. I offer that just by way of hopefully giving you a better timeline understanding of why Mr. Williams was the first one to receive a performance evaluation. Please understand that this was only 2 months after the first 6 months of his administration, and that indeed everyone else in the department, by policies and procedures, did receive and does now receive annual performance evaluations. That Mr. Williams was the first one, I do not think is significant for several reasons. First of all, Mr. Williams was causing immense problems within the department and with other departments. I think that fact is undisputed. Secondly, he was the number two person in the department. Therefore, his willingness to to receive a performance evaluation, which had never been done in the department's history in the past, his willingness to do it would demonstrate at his high level as a supervisor would give him then the authority to bring that procedure down to the rank and file of the department, which I think was another significant issue that the sheriff faced during that evaluation, that here he was evaluating one of his top-level people and getting the type of response from him that he did not expect. It was the transcript is replete with examples of Mr. Williams cursing, angry, violent, very, very strongly disagreeing with the sheriff's positions on things. And to be fair to Mr. Williams, there are times when he made legitimate points that the sheriff conceded on during that evaluation. It was a very lengthy evaluation. I think the record's very clear that the transcript will show you that was indeed a performance evaluation and that it escalated as a performance evaluation into a termination because of Mr. Williams' conduct. With that said, let me try to move to the issue of sanctions. And let me start by
Mr. Dixon, your time has expired, but I will give you a minute.
Okay. Let me try to go very briefly then. Mr. Wertheimer stood here and said, had we known Sheriff Senna's comments and Mr. Lauck's comments using the N-word, we would not have filed the race-based claim. Now, he did not learn about those comments until months after the claim had been filed. Didn't even come close to learning about them. As to the alleged claim of Tracy Lee, I have to say a few things very quickly. She was not even disclosed as a witness until 3 months after Mr. Williams' deposition, near the end of discovery, at which deposition Mr. Williams torpedoed his own case against Mr. Lauck by admitting Mr. Lauck played no role in the conspiracy and by admitting that Mr. Lauck had no role in the Title VII claim. I cite to this court's authority in the Rush versus McDonald's case, where the court has held that a party's lack of knowledge of the law does not excuse an application of sanctions against them. The counsel in this case attempts to amend their complaints were contrary to the law, and they're not excused for that. Their Title VII claim, out beyond the scope, which never named Mr. Williams, is akin to the ERISA claim brought in Rush. They're not excused from that as well.
I believe we have the point, Mr. Dixon. Thank you.
I'm sorry I took up more than my
Mr. time. Mr. Wertheimer, your time had expired, but I will give you 2 minutes if you have something you would like to rebut.
First of all, I respectfully disagree with Mr. Dixon on about everything that he said. There are material fact disputes, and Mr. Williams testified we discussed the matter of the investigation before January 1, 1999. And then that there were immense problems that are undisputed, that are certainly disputed by Norval Williams. And Officer Williams, Norval Williams, did not shoot his case in the foot against Mr. Lauck, because if you read the deposition testimony, he says that to the effect that I don't believe Mr. Lauck was involved in this in the beginning, and the words "in the beginning" are stressed. And as all of you know, in a conspiracy case, you've got to take bits and pieces from different sources. And if you read the evidence designated as shown in the briefs, a reasonable inference from all of that would show that there was, in fact, a conspiracy. Now, we have other issues. Is Mr. Toth a proper party as a county prosecutor? That's addressed in the briefs. He is, because what he did was way beyond his duties as a prosecutor. And as far as starting out as an evaluation meeting, that's what Norval Williams thought it was. He so testified, and he participated in it as an evaluation meeting. But if you read his deposition testimony, when Sheriff Seneff's tone became higher and accusatory, then he realized, gee, this must be a termination meeting. So there are so many conflicts in the evidence, and the inferences, if you draw those inferences in favor of the non-moving party, frankly, I most respectfully submit that Norval Williams should be given an opportunity to present that evidence before a trier of fact.
Will we be able to tell from the cold record, the cold deposition, that the sheriff's voices rising?
We will not. We have Dorval Williams' testimony that that's what he heard, that's what he sensed. Okay.
The case will be taken under advisement with our thanks to all counsel for their fine briefs and their submissions today.